Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the Word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen. Okay, well, let's welcome Pastor Jonathan because he's going to bring the Word this morning. So let's give him a real honour and welcome him as he comes.
Remember, I went to the church in Parkway in Kent, Park Ward, sorry, 2 weeks ago. And Ken and Beryl are part of that church. And we met when we went to Israel on tour. And it's just great that our friendship has continued over a number of years. So you're very, very welcome. And Sophia's dad as well is here from Bulgaria. And so we want to welcome you today. So it's great to have people visiting us today, and obviously great to see you too. I just really believe that to start with, I'm just going to read something that God gave me. As you know, we encourage people to all have a journal, and we write down what we believe God is saying to us, and we find that over a period of days where God will continue to remind us of the similar things, and we begin to get the message, oh, okay, God, you're on my case. You're trying to say something to me. And we just encourage everybody to have something like a book. A lot, obviously, people have iPads nowadays and phones. But to write down just little things that God is saying to you when you read the Word. I sometimes literally just write out whole verses of scripture that God speaks to me about. When I read the Word of God every day, I write down something that is sort of stands out to me. And I just believe this is what God said to me fairly recently. It says, remember, it's about my kingdom, not yours. It's not a kingdom that is man-made. Just because we don't like the rules does not mean they are wrong. My kingdom has rules and a way to live that has not changed since I sent my son to be the one sacrifice for all. The old way of sacrifice that required blood sacrifice was done away with, as my son's sacrifice was enough. The need of sacrifice in a physical way has ended, but the need to recognize the sacrifice of my son is as important today as ever. The aroma of sacrifice in the Old Testament has been replaced by your own sacrifice. A life lived to please me gives off an aroma that delights me. Yes. Yeah. You now are a living sacrifice, a life constantly laid on the altar. I long for my children to return to the understanding that their life, their gifts are not their own for their own pleasure, but for my kingdom purposes. I'm looking forward to my bride and the feast that is prepared for you. Likewise, you need to look forward to my return and be ready, be alert, and be prepared, for you do not know the time or date. Therefore, you must always be ready with an expectancy, so that you give your life in a way that pleases me. And that's what I just really believe that God said. And we've been reading together in different ways. We've been reading in Exodus, and we've been reading in 2 Corinthians over these last couple of days. And in the New Testament readings that we've been going through, in the book of Exodus, we've been reading about how Moses went up to the mountain. He got the instructions from God. And then when he came down from the mountain, Aaron and the people had created an idol, an image that they were worshipping, because they were saying, oh, Moses is not going to return. We're not talking about a long time period here. We're not talking about months and years that Moses was up the mountain. We're talking about a month or so. It says that in the next time he went up, it was 40 days. So we're not talking about a long period of time where God's laws were very, very quickly broken, and the sacrificial system and the things that God had put into place were soon replaced by something else. And for me, you know, in 21st century, because I believe that Old Testament and New Testament speaks to us today. I believe that there's things that God shows us in the Old Testament, and even though Jesus has now come and replaced that sacrificial system that God ordained in the book of Exodus with all the sacrifices, all the feasts, when we get to the book of Leviticus and Numbers, it's quite interesting because it just goes into detail of what the children of Israel had to do within their sacrifice. For me, what God is again requiring of us is just to love him and love people. I believe that when we fulfill those two things, when we begin to love God with a passion, then we will make sure that our lives are aligned up with the truth of who he is. So we will not want to go against the law of God. We won't want to do things that are pleasing to ourselves, but we know that are going against the word of God. We are a Bible-believing church. We're not want to take away from this book. There are other religions, other faiths that are wanting to just sort of take the bits and pieces out of this book that they like. And so they will dismiss and sort of saying, okay, this is not the infallible word of God anymore. And so we will take and pick what we want and what suits my kingdom mindset or my thought pattern and what I believe God should be for me, what God should be in the 21st century. And in a sense, it's making God in their own image. It's making an idol of God in their own image. Okay, yeah, we can do that. Oh, it's not a problem to sleep around these days because that's normal in 21st century. And so because it's normal to go and sleep around, then we think that's okay. And we think that we can become a real Christian and live the life God wants to live, but we can continue to do that. What have we done? We're making God in our own image. Just like the children of Israel did, because they couldn't touch God in that same way, and they couldn't see Moses anymore as the priest, they chose a different way and they made an image of God that they began to worship and bow down to. And in the 21st century, we as Christians sometimes do the same thing because we may not have heard God for a couple of days. We begin to put our own interpretation on what we believe God is saying. I've heard something in the news today or this week from somebody who is okay with homosexuality and marriage and things like that. Now, please hear my heart. I believe that we've got to love people who have a difference of opinion to us, whether it's a religion. And it's great that, you know, we've got Tony and Martina here who are ministering into a Muslim world. And I honestly believe that we need to have love and we need to understand how we are to express God's love into people who don't believe the same way that we do. But I also believe that people have got to understand that, you know, for us as Christians who still believe the truth of the word of God, that, you know, we have rights too. We have a place to communicate what we believe. And I believe that if we're tolerant of others, then I think they need to be tolerant of us as well. Yeah. And there was a statistic about Premier Radio saying that they believe Christians are being marginalized. They had an interview of 12,000 people over the last couple of weeks. And they talked about a little bit about Christianity. And over 80% of these 12,000 people said that Christianity was being marginalized in this country. Yeah. Now, obviously, that's only a small percentage of the people in our nation. And for statistics, you've got to be really, really careful. But 12,000 people is a good subject matter. It's not 1,000 people, it's 12,000. And 80% of that 12,000 people said that we were being marginalized as Christians. Why? Because there is an intolerance out there to the message that we want to preach. Yeah. But I do ask myself sometimes, is that, okay, the message that I speak, is that going to be something, am I doing it in a loving way or a judgmental way? And for me, it's not about a stick that God wants to give us to come and say, no, this is what we believe as Christians. I believe love disarms. Yeah. I do. I believe love disarms. I believe love disarms from a Muslim background person. I believe that if you are Hindu or whatever religion, I genuinely believe that love that God gives to us for that person can bring a transformation into their lives and situations. But to suddenly sort of say, no, I agree with your faith, or I agree with your sexual stance, I agree with the way that you are conducting your life, eating and drinking and being merry, and not taking any consideration of God's laws, both Old and New Testament, that's okay. No, people have made God in their own image. And I believe that it's time, if we're going to see what God wants us to see in the city of London and beyond, I believe that we're going to have to return to biblical Christianity. Yeah. I do. But remember, Jesus loved the people. Jesus was seen with the prostitute. Jesus was seen with the tax collector who was, in those days, the worst of the worst robber. And he was known as a thief. The tax collectors in those days were known as thieves. And so therefore, you know, Jesus was seen amongst them. And so there was something about Jesus in that environment that people didn't feel judged or condemned. And therefore, for me, I've got to come into a place where I need to be in situations with Muslims, with other people who do not believe in the way that I do. Sometimes people are agnostic. Some people don't believe that there's a God anymore. There is a real humanistic agenda in our nation now. And it's not that we go and sort of say, no, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. They are wrong. Because the truth is that Jesus Christ came and died. But there's a way that I believe God wants to help us to come and be like Jesus in those situations where people accepted him in those situations. And I believe that even if Jesus was walking around on the 21st century, the people who had a different or an opposing view to us, Jesus would still be accepted in that environment because of the way that he looked, the way that he didn't judge, the way he wasn't critical, the way that he sought to serve, the way that he sought to give. But one of the things that I believe Jesus wouldn't do was compromise truth. You know, for me, this situation that I saw on Facebook, and there's been several articles by another minister in this city, and he's going back in history to the Roman Empire and how secular the Roman Empire was and how sexually explicit the Roman people were. And so they were saying that some of the writings in the New Testament would have been emphasized with that in mind. And so therefore, it doesn't mean, the Bible doesn't mean what it means anymore because of the historical evidence. And some other professor sort of said, so what? The truth is the truth. We've known about the history of the Roman people for years and years and years, and we know that sometimes the art and that what they depict is a group of people, a nationality, a nation that was very sexually open and very explicit in the way that they lived their lives. And you can go and you can go into art galleries and you can see the art that express this very open society sexually. And you know, this article in the press is coming in and sort of saying, oh, we've got to now take into account, you know, okay, that was back then, and we now have to be more tolerant, we need to be more liberal in our approach to the truths that were put into the Bible, but it was for them, not for now. Again, for me, it's not about judging anybody, and that's why I've not mentioned any names. But I do want you to understand that there are truths that people are making, and I believe that's what the word that I've read out that God gave me was that people are making a God in their own image. They haven't, in part, you know, when you encounter God, you look different. Moses, when he encountered God, came back down the mountain with a radiant face. And there's many other stories. When you've encountered God, there is something about us, it's like a mark. And, you know, when somebody has talked, when you know that somebody's had 3-4 days with the Lord, they've gone away and prayed, and you speak to them, there's a radiance about them. I don't know if you've seen that, but there's a radiance about people who've encountered God, and you like to be in their presence. And I've spoken to you before about a gentleman called Sam. And Sam was an old gentleman of 70, 75. But people in Horsham knew him as Smiling Sam. Whether he was riding his bike when he was walking, whether he was driving in his car, when he was communicating to a shopkeeper, he had a smile on his face that was really wide, bright, open. And when you sort of say, oh, do you know Smiling Sam? Oh, absolutely. He's that gentleman that has just always got a smile on his face. Why? Because he always encountered God. Every day he had an encounter with God. And we had the pleasure of having 20 days with him in Israel. And guess what? Every day, even when we were walking mile upon mile, going to see brick upon brick, he still had a big, huge smile on his face. And it was great to see. And everybody knew, wow, Smiling Sam, Smiling Sam. Because there was something about the mark of God that was upon him that created an aroma, a pleasant aroma, a smell of sacrifice that he was giving his God. And because of that, people, both Christian and non-Christian, knew that something was different about Sam. If we're going to see, I'm a revivalist, okay? I believe God for a move of God. I believe that God wants to come in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. I believe God is the same God today as he always has been. I want to see miracles. I want to see people's eyes open. I want to see people coming out of wheelchairs. But the greatest miracle of all is salvation of soul. And I'd much rather see people coming into the kingdom of God than I would want to see somebody getting out of the wheelchair. Why? Because somebody giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal consequence. You know, yes, it's great for a moment for somebody to come out of a wheelchair or to see a leg grow. Please, I've seen these things. But for me, the greatest miracle of all is somebody to say yes to Jesus Christ. Because that's an eternal consequence in their life. It's not a temporal, which this body is. And so for me, the greatest miracle is to see more and more people's lives touched and affected by the power of God. And in a move of the Spirit, you and me become a fragrance that, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that we are an aroma that pleases some, but again, an offense to others. When God moves in the way that I'm talking about, light becomes lighter and darkness becomes darker. And the darkness is trying to overcome the light, but we know that there is no winner. The only winner there is going to be Jesus Christ. It's the only way Jesus Christ will win. But sometimes we have to see something and we have to overcome because there are obstacles in the way. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego who had to face the fire. And in the fire, God rescued and saved them. But they had to go into and through the fire, they got thrown into that fire. Nothing touched them. The flames did not touch them because God took them out of the fire and protected them. But all of these things are so important. Let's just read in from Corinthians, because I just want you to see this for yourself. And it's actually 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says in verse 12, I'm just going to read from 12 to verse 17. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal possession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as though sent from God. And if you want to just turn, and I'm going to read a little passage from Exodus, which for me is quite important for what God wants to do. And that's in Exodus 31, which links to each one of us being the aroma of Christ where God has placed us. But I'll read that in a minute. When we do it God's way, I believe that it's like God begins to take over in each and every situation that we face. When we trust him in each situation, I believe God then helps us to overcome. We need to still be people who listen to the still small voice of God. I mentioned before a testimony of a friend of ours who was a pastor who lived in the States. And he and his wife were helping lead a church in the States. And they were good friends with the co-pastors. And this friend of ours, he decided, he believed that God was calling him to come to the States. Come from the States to the UK and become like evangelists, ministers. And he told his friend about this, and his friend just did not agree with what my friend was hearing from God, and they came anyway. And they moved, wife and family moved into this country. They went into the Midlands and had a work up there. But one of the things that happened was that in that process, just before they came, husband and wife team, the wife wanted to do something that was trying to bring reconciliation into this situation. The gentleman, the husband, just sort of said, no, this is not to do that. Don't do this. Because you'll be, in a sense, putting some fuel on the fire of this situation. But because they were close friends, they chose to ignore the still small voice. And this is a testimony he has spoken out publicly. So, you know, you'll find it on something online somewhere. So it's not something that is quiet or hidden. But he chose to ignore that still small voice and went with his wife's voice at that time. And the meeting went okay. But when they got to the UK, that person, in a sense, followed our friend around. So whenever he had a preaching engagement, the gentleman in the States wrote to the pastor saying, do not accept them. The ministry is not credible. And for a whole 18 months, every time our friend went to preach somewhere, the gentleman in States went and wrote, emailed, saying, do not accept his ministry. It's not right. You know, they're in rebellion. They shouldn't be there in the first place. They should be back in the States. 18 months because they didn't hear the still small voice, or he didn't listen to the still small voice. So we, each one of us, still need to be in a place where we're listening to God. So we're listening to what he is saying to us so that we don't take the wrong path in all of these things that we are taking place. But it's important. Let's just read from Exodus, please. And it's just a scripture that I believe is important. It says in Exodus 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic design for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed," whatever his name is, "son of," whatever his name is, "of the tribe of Dan to help him. Also, I have given the ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded: the tent of meeting, the ark of covenant, and the atonement cover on it, and the other furnishings of the temple, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings and all its utensils, the basin with its stands. Also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron and the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil of fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I have commanded you." I believe God wants you to know that each and every one of you has been called with a specific gift, talent, ability, that has been anointed by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Whether that's accountancy, whether that's being a doctor, whether that's office work, school work, whether that's work with your hands, work with your heads and hands. I believe that you need to heed this. That you have been anointed for the task that only you can fulfill. God chose Belzer, whatever his name is. How would you pronounce that name? Bezalel. God chose Bezalel because he had gifts and abilities. I believe God wants to encourage each and every one of you today, saying that you have gifts and abilities, natural gifts and abilities, that when the Holy Spirit comes and helps and anoints and places his hand upon you to do those things that he's called you to do, they become something that is extraordinary. But I also, you know, again, for me, this is making sure that you understand that wherever you are, Monday through Saturday, not just Sunday, those are important things that God is wanting you to do. Their tasks, their gifts, their abilities. Whether you're an arty person, whether you're brilliant at DIY like Martin, whereas looking at me doing DIY, don't ask me to do anything. But you know, we all have a gift and ability, whether it's musical, whether it's arty, whether it's with numbers. I'm a Sudoku person, but whereas Helen is a crossword person. You try and get me to spell a right word and I need Google or word spell check. Whereas Sudoku and numbers, I just love that. And so an Excel spreadsheet for me is something that I delight in. Whereas you give me, you know, I need to do a couple of paragraphs of writing for something, then for me that's a challenge. we're different. But wherever God has placed you at this moment in time, and again, for me, one of the things God, I believe, is saying to us as a church is that it's so, so important that we understand that we're not wanting to always be somewhere else, but we're content where we currently are. And when we understand that God's placed us for the person, and that may be to just speak to one person within that company or that environment that he's placed you in. And when we have done that, then it's then God can then, in quotes, promote us. And I believe that that was something that God spoke to me, and that's why I put it into the email this week. I believe God wants to promote some of you here. And that's not necessarily in a physical world, even though I believe that's going to be the case. I believe that this is something that God wants you to understand, that when you do it His way, when it doesn't become, you know, we're not trying to create a God in our own image, we're going to be doing it the way that God intends for my life and our lives together. When we understand that we have been gifted, and like Beelzebub, whatever his name is, when that gift is used in the way that God intends that gift to be used, in His hands, in His way, it can then be an aroma that pleases God. It can be an aroma that brings others into that place of salvation, that place where God then can come and take over. And I'm a person who wants to see God take over. I want to see God so much more in my environment, Monday through Saturday, not just on a Sunday. Yes, I want to sense the power of God on a Sunday. I want to see Him do so many things amongst us on a Sunday. But I also want to see what God is putting into your hearts to do what God wants you to do, so that you come with your stories of the amazing grace of God every single week, writing texts, meeting, saying, Helena, Jonathan, did you know God did this in my life? I prayed for somebody today who had a headache and it went. I had somebody who just came in with a pain and the pains were going up their arms, and we prayed in the supernatural power of God. I didn't put my hand on them. I just said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and they were healed. Why? Because God is the same God today as He always has been. But we need to understand that we cannot have a God in our own image. It's got to be the God that we see and read about and personally get to know. And anything that He says in this book, in my journal, needs to be cross-referenced with what is in this book. If there's something that is completely and totally random in this, then I ignore it, because this is my manual that I've got to live by. But this helps. You understand? So let's please stand. Because I want you to understand that every single one of you, if you just want to close your eyes, I just want you to think for a moment. Just the things that you excel in. Whether you're good with words, whether you're good with numbers, whether you're good with your hands. Whether you're just great with people. You have a good voice. Sometimes it's just that you're good at cooking, or whatever. You're very good creatively. Good at dance, drama. All of these things, I believe, are like that gentleman that God set apart for the task of building the Ark of the Covenant and the Tent of Meeting. Just thank Him for the gifts that He's placed in you. some of you will be able to identify that. Sometimes it's just you're a very good listener. And you just listen and then you have a knack of being able to say the right thing in the right situation. That's a gift from God. Many occasions where you've just sent a text or a tweet or a Facebook message and it's just been the right moment. Again, for me, all of these are gifts that God wants to give or has given to you. And I just really believe God's saying, I want you to be thankful for these gifts. Because they're all part, every single part is for my purpose. You see, my children, I have things that I have planned for you to be and do individually. But I've also planned for things for you to do together. And the uniqueness of my body, the body of Christ, in this city of London and beyond, is not dependent upon just one person, but it's dependent upon the body working together to fulfill the call, the purpose that I have originated it for. So be encouraged, each and every one of you, that the gifts that I have given you are to be used. They're not to remain dormant, but they're to be used for my purposes. But you see, my children, I also want you to understand that it's not to be used in a way that you deem fit, in the guard of your own image, of your own making. But you see, my children, I want you to do it my way. The way that I showed the children of Israel to build the ark, how I showed them how precisely to build the tent of meeting. I want to give each and every one of you precise instructions. Because I have a plan in my own heart and mind that I want to see fulfilled here, in this place and in the body of Christ in this nation. But it cannot be a God made in your own image. It's got to be done in the way that I lead, the way I show. And you see, I want each and every one of you to be people who listen to that still small voice. I want each and every one of you to know who the God is, so that when I speak to you, you heed what I have to say. The lie is that you can't hear the voice of God. That is a lie. Because I want to speak to you. I speak to you through my word, but I also want to speak to you through prophetic, through direct, through images, through your thought life, through words on a page. I want to share my heart with you. I want you to know who I am, so that any other false God that tries to come and direct the course of your life in an alternate way, you are quick to say, no, that's not the truth, because that's not my God. Yes, I am a loving God. I'm a powerful God. And I have set instructions for you and a manual for you to live by. So please, my children, do not make gods in your own image, but return to the God that you truly serve and the God that you gave your life to as a sacrifice, so that the aroma that you give through sacrifice is one that pleases me in every way. So Father, I ask you that you will touch our lives, every single one of us, that you will remind us this week of the things that you have placed in our hearts and lives. And Father, if there is anything in our lives that is, again, creating a God in our own image, then we ask you that you will pull that down in our lives this week, so that the God that we want to serve again takes first place in our lives. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard, or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.kingdomfaithlondon.com.